Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Our Father God is the healer that makes all things new. But he is God and God alone, and we are his daughters. We are his sons. He calls us friends. Hallelujah. I am so thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is, as always, a great word this morning. It is a great word. And oh my goodness, we're going to talk about Jesus today. We're going to talk about that deceiving little sneaky snake called Judas and them 30 pieces of silver. Today we will be in the book of Matthew. And every time I think about this book, I always think about that hour of prayer, that time that we pray, that Jesus prayed, and he prayed so much and so hard, and all he wanted from his disciples was, just pray with me. Pray with me. And even Jesus wanted the cup to not come to him. You know, even in our darkest hours, there are times where we would like to say, Lord, do I have to do this? Is this my calling? Is this my assignment? Even Jesus had those moments where he just was not sure. But because he had an assignment, that he had something to do, but he prayed. He prayed about it. He prayed through it. And prayer may not change the circumstance, but prayer will bring you through. Prayer will bring you through. Whatever you're going through, prayer will bring you through. Grateful that God has given us an opportunity to pray, to lift up the name of Jesus, to know that there is nothing like our God, that he will be with us through thick, he will be with us through thin, and he just wants to spend time with us in prayer. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, spending time with you in this hour of study. Lord, we ask you to increase as we decrease. We ask you to give clarity of the word so that, Lord, it will stay in our remembrance. It will stay in our hearts. It will stay in our minds, in our souls, in our spirits. Lord God, we are just asking you to guide us through this lesson, that we will feel, that we will know what your son went through, what our Savior went through, what you went through for us, committed in thought and word and deed, then seen and unseen. Lord God, clean us up from the inside out. Remove anything not like you from us this morning as we go forth. Lord God, I thank you for Dr. Stanley and this Bible that you have guided me to do these Bible studies. And Lord, I ask a special blessing over him and his family that their ministry will increase even more. For they, Lord God, have been called for such a time as this. And Lord God, I ask you to please guide this nation in righteousness. Guide us in love guide us. And Lord God, let all things done in the dark come into the light, that all may see the right and the wrong of it. But Lord, you are in control. You are in charge. We are just your humble servants with eyes, hearts, minds, and spirit open wide to receive more of you. So Lord, as we go through this word, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory. And know that all things are working for our good because we are trusting in you. Father, we stand on the word this morning, knowing that all is well because you are well. And you are our Father and you love us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, a wonderful and mighty Father, a wonderful and mighty God. In the name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for sending him for us to take our sins to the cross, that we may be able to come directly to you and pray. And Lord, today we pray, lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up each other, lifting up our nation, lifting up our planet. Heal us, O Lord. Again, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We ask for healing. And we ask for courage. We got to watch as well as pray. Is a sneaky snake. And he is on the prowl. Always looking for something to devour. Always looking for someone to take out. But we know, whoo, hallelujah, that we serve a mighty, mighty God who loves us more than anything. And we love him. We love him. We got to watch and pray. And, you know, I could add all the rest, which we will be doing in our reading today. But those two words, those three words always stuck in my mind. But my mother-in-law, she used to tell us every time we would come and visit and we would leave, she would give us a hug. My husband, my late husband and I, and she'd say, y'all watch and pray. Or she'd say, watch as well as pray. Because she understood that the enemy is busy. He is busy. And she knew we had to travel. And she was always there, watching and praying for us. And when we get home, we let her know, we made it home, Mama. And she'd say, okay. And that's all she wanted to know. We made it home safely. And then she'd say, before she hung up again, y'all watch as well as pray. Because she knew that there are going to be people that would come into our lives that would not be right, that would not be righteous, that would just be looking for somebody to devour. And we knew that they came from the enemy, who is, again, busy. So let's get into our word this morning. We are going to be coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 26. And we will also be coming out of Proverbs, chapter 8. And we're going to start this morning in Proverbs, and then we're going to go into our main reading, which is Matthew chapter 26. And Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gate at the entry of the city, at the entry of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, standing hard. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not sliver, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Let's read that again. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. In other words, let's keep it moving. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot compare with her. I tell you, wisdom is important. If you can, you have all the things in the world and no wisdom, you're going to lose it all. We got to have wisdom. We got to keep praying every day. Lord, guide me. Lord, lead me. Because there are the wolves out there that come to devour, to steal, and to kill from those that are maybe not as knowledgeable. And they come after widows and orphans more than anyone, because they're like ravenous wolves. All they're coming after is the sheep to kill, steal, and destroy. We got to keep prayed up, and we got to ask for wisdom. Verse number 12 of chapter 8 of Proverbs. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. In wisdom and asking God for understanding, because God will give you the desire of your heart, but there's a but in there. You've got to trust in the Lord, and you have to have wisdom. And the word of God says, the Lord possesses me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthens the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. Rejoice always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Whew, that's a word. That's a word. You know, you read stuff, but then you read it again, and it makes a lot of sense. What a word. Wisdom. We got to have wisdom. Wisdom is better than silver and gold. Because with wisdom, you will know how to take care of what God has for you. But I love this one word in Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. As we grow spiritually, we gradually change from trying to stop doing the evil things that we really want to do to actually hating the evil things so that we no longer want to do it. If you were dealing with drugs or alcohol, or fornication or pornography or whatever your situation was, when you gave it to God and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Not a God. And then finally you start to hate it. You know, when you pass by, because we all know marijuana is legal now, that awful, nasty, skunky smell, it does something to your spirit. It's just like, ugh, that is just nasty. And then, you know, you pass by, you know, a dispensary, and the smell of beer makes you want to just throw up. You know, if you see something on television, because, you know, and I know television has become nothing but a avenue for pornography to come into your home. You got to turn it off. Turn it off. If that's your problem. Because you don't want that to get back into your spirit. Wisdom. You got to have wisdom. And as we continue in our main word this morning, so please join me in Matthew chapter 26. And let's get started. Told y'all. Whew, deep breath. It is a great word this morning. It is a great word this morning. And it says this. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the place of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster box. And that's what we read on the other day. This is kind of a preview. You know, we read it, and, you know, he told them that he was getting prepared for his burial. You know, he told them everything that was going to happen. And he said, wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman has done will always be told as a memorial to her. The woman could not have known that what she did that day would be memorialized in God's word and distributed to the ends of the earth. God loves to reward faithful devotion to him. This woman was faithfully devotional. She took that expensive oil and she poured it on Jesus. And he told, you know, and then you had the Judases. You had Judas, because he was the treasurer then. But when Jesus was aware of it, because Judas was thinking, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Jesus had told him, poor be with us always. But me, you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. As assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the world, whole world, not just the world, the whole world, what this woman has done will always be told as a memorial to her. And then this is Judas. He says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity. He sought opportunity to get rid of Jesus. But what did our Proverbs words say? Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Now Judas sacrificed everything for those 30 pieces of silver. But understand, prophecy had to be fulfilled. So let's keep going in our word for today, which is our Friday, Saturday, Sunday word. is Matthew, starting in verse 26. And it says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for your remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, and nevertheless not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is the title of our lesson this morning. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And Jesus went on to tell, he's telling even us, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We fall down, as Tommy your clerk says, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down. I got up. We got to ask God daily, Lord, remove weakness from me. Watch over me, Lord, that I not enter into temptation, because the flesh is weak. And it says again, as Gadabi went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Lord, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. Three times he's found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again. This word gets to my heart. I just can't help it. It does something to my spirit. And he said, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. I think he wanted to delay it just a little longer. But when it's our time, it's our time. And he said, while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with the great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. We'll go back and do life lessons after we finish the word this morning. Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 through 75. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck up the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at least two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him. Others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Now Peter was outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. When he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he again denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And a little long later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Because everything Jesus said he would do, he did. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 26. And it says, when morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and then the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. Like, I ain't afraid of you. It is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner, whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. For when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now understand, they chose a thief, they chose a criminal, they chose one that was a rabble-rouser over righteousness. And this is a prime example of how good people can do some bad things, because it only takes one to get them riled up. It only takes a whisper campaign to get them riled up. And folks get riled up and don't know why they did what they did. Don't know why they did what they did. Because there was a rabble rouser. A whisper, let's do this, let's go here, let's go there. This is not right, this is not this. Even though they know they're lying, they still get folks all upset, all filled up with anger. And the next thing you know, you have trouble. You have awful, awful mess. Because it only took one to get them all riled up. You got to be careful that you don't fall into the trap. But in this case, they had no choice. He had to be fulfilled. It was a fulfillment of prophecy that was spoken hundreds and hundreds of years before by the prophets of old about the Savior. He had to die for our awful, awful, sinful selves. And this is what the Dr. Stanley said. So the life questions, life lessons for the day are coming out of Matthew 26 and 27. Jesus' example, our sacrifice. Some believe that Jesus came to show us how to live a good life And to be sure, he is our example of righteousness. We are to become like him. But that isn't the reason Jesus came. Jesus came to die, to become the sacrificial, substitutionary, all-sufficient atonement for our sins. Because of Jesus, we don't have to find an unblemished sheep. We don't have to find an unblemished ram. We don't have to find doves unblemished in their first year. We don't have to find all the things that they had to have in the Old Testament to sacrifice, blood sacrifice, grain sacrifice. We don't have to have those things because Jesus, sin offerings, because Jesus has done it for us. He took all of our sins. He took all of our stuff. The only thing we are asked to do is to give our tithes and our offerings to God. Our first fruit we give to him. Not much God is asking of us. To treat each other right. To feed the hungry. To clothe the naked. To house the stranger. To visit the prisoner. To treat each other as we want to be treated. On this day of love, think about how you treat others. Do you show love to them? Do you treat them like you want to be treated? Or do you walk with your head in the air because you think you're better than others? Nobody is better than God. We treat each other the way we want to be treated and watch God work in our life. What does it say? Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love. And on this day of love, let us love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. If Jesus didn't come to die, there's no purpose in the cross or the resurrection. The New Testament consistently confronts us with the message, Christ died for us. I say, that's love. Jesus came so that you and I might transfer our guilt to him and accept by faith that all the guiltless ones, he has received our sin and taken it to himself. If you are looking for forgiveness on the basis of your pleas, promises, and performance, then you will remain in your sins. Only if you accept his sacrifice will you open yourself to receive the fullness of God's life-giving spirit. Matthew 26:29, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The Last Supper not only looks back to the sacrifice of Christ's death, it also looks ahead to his glorious reign. It both memorializes and anticipates the work of Christ and invites us to remember and celebrate. Hallelujah. Never forget the sacrifice, but always look forward to his coming. But when he comes the next time, he's coming for the righteous. Hallelujah. Matthew 26:37, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Isaiah called the coming Messiah a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:3, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus faced sorrow like he had never known. Truly, he was in all points tempted as we are, Hebrews 4:15. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 15. And we'll read it again when we get to the book of Isaiah. But we're going to read it in context today to our word. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. But we'll go back to verse number 1 to put it in context. And it says, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of God been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid it were our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." And I'm going to go on down to verse number 4. "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded," come on y'all, "for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. By his stripes we are healed from our sins. Hallelujah. Jesus healed us. Jesus took the cross for us. He took our burden to the cross. Why? Because he loved us. Did he have to do it? No. Did he do it? Yes. Why? Because he loved us. On this love day, think about the goodness of Jesus. Think about what he did for you and I. God loved us. And he loves us more than we love ourselves. Because we all have gone through those moments where we have just not liked ourselves. I know I have. I can only talk about me. Because I know I'm not perfect. I am in transition to wait on the Lord, to be there, to say with my hand raised high in worship, in prayer, in praise, waiting and knowing my Savior is coming. When the trumpet sounds, I want my bags packed, hallelujah, so I can go home. And the word of God came and it said this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. And it says, but I'm going to go back. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hallelujah. Thanking God for this word this morning. I told y'all it was a great word today. And as we continue, Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75, denying Christ. And it says this, when we read about Peter's denial of Christ, we may be tempted to feel a little self-righteous. Come on now. After all, Peter walked with Christ for 3 years. How could he possibly refuse his friend and rabbi? How could he turn away from the one he called the Christ, the Son of the living God? Matthew 16:16. True, the situation was very tense, and we can understand why Peter would be fearful. Yet he completely disavowed knowing the Lord Jesus. His denial strikes us as wrong to the very core of our being. We're sure we would never deny our Savior in such a terrible way. Yet before we condemn Peter's action, we must take a long look at ourselves. How often do we doubt that God will help us in a difficult situation? How often do we avoid the subject of religion so that we will not have to tell people we're Christians? How often do we indulge in sins that are clearly prohibited in God's word? Though Peter denied Christ in a way that was loud in public, we may deny Christ in hundreds of smaller ways every day. So we must ask ourselves, how often do I deny Christ's existence on life? We know that Peter was devastated by his actions. We know he cried bitter tears when it dawned on him, when that rooster crowed three times. Oh, my God, what have I done? We also know that later he would completely change his attitude about being Christ's representative. In 1 Peter 4:14-16, he tells us, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If anyone suffers as Christians, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Peter rejoiced that he was counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, Acts 5:41. We must also allow the Holy Spirit to make that change in us. We must come to the place where Christ comes first in every area of our life, no matter what the consequences. Are you there, friend? Or will you continue to deny Christ with your actions? Like Peter, you must make your choice. The Savior is waiting. Woo! Dr. Stanley, he sure will tell you about yourself. He will tell you about yourself. The Savior is waiting, family. And Matthew 27:14, he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Pilate was used to prisoners cowering in his presence. This one did not, and it unnerved him. Isaiah had predicted that the Messiah would keep silent before his accusers, and Jesus did exactly that. Isaiah 53:7. We just read that. I don't have anything to say. He knew who he was, and he knew what his job was, and he came for a reason. In his thoughts, Matthew 27:12, there is no doubt that as Jesus stood trial in front of Pilate, he was completely focused. Matthew 27:12 tells us, while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Think about that. As false accusations were being flung at him, the Son of God didn't call a battalion of angels to his aid. He didn't curse the priests, the elders, as he had the fig tree that didn't bear fruit. Remember that in Matthew 21:19. He did not do anything to defend himself. He answered nothing. Hebrews 12:2 helps us understand Christ's mindset. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus endured it all for the joy set before him. It was enough to stop him from answering his accusers. It was sufficient to keep him focused. Yet, what was the overwhelming joy? Of course, it was doing the Father's will. However, it was also you. Ephesians 2 admonishes, walk in love. On this love day, y'all, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Galatians 2:20 says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Christ's joy was you. Think about that as you celebrate St. Valentine's Day. But I like to just call it Love Day. Love is not simply red hearts, banquets of flowers, and chocolates. True love is unconditional. True love reaches out. True love gives itself sacrificially. Perhaps you have a special loved one with which to celebrate today. Or perhaps today is one of the loneliest days of the year for you. Perhaps you are wondering if anyone is thinking about you. The answer is yes.
Jesus is. He's thinking about you today. And he thought about you back then. He thought about you as he stood trial. And his love for you kept him focused on the goal to reconcile you to God, to show you his love eternally. So today, remember that you are Christ's joy, his beloved, and have a very happy love day. Matthew 27:19. Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. This is from Pilate's wife, because she loved her husband. And she knows, you know, I don't know what curse is going to come on us for this man, but you don't have anything to do with this. This is not your fight. And what did he do? He washed his hands of it. And then Pilate saw that he could not prevail, and all but brother that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am blood of this just person. You see to it. He's like, Y'all brought him here, but y'all need to take him back, because I'm not going to get involved with this, because he is a just man. But instead, they let a criminal go over a just man. And this is what the word says, have nothing to do with that just man. That's what his wife told him. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. What did God tell Pilate's wife in this dream? What did he intend to accomplish through it? How should the dream have influenced events? We don't know. But we do know that God speaks to those with open ears. Hallelujah. It's God speaking to you today. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. On this love day, love your family. If there's someone in your family you got an issue with, call them up and say, I love you, and mean it. Forgive and let it go. Let go of all the crazy stuff in our life. We got to let it go. We got to walk in righteousness. And above all, we got to walk in love. For God so loved us that he gave his only son. He gave his son. He gave a part of himself, the world as a man, a part of himself for us. He left a part of himself in us. Remember that he loves us. And all he wants from us is for us to love him back. That's all I have this morning. I have a couple of words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we're going to wrap it up on this love day, on this here where we live, very cold love day. And it is cold outside, very cold. And the word for today is this. Good morning. The tongue is very powerful. Let your word be positive and of love today. Speak the word of God. Declare it over everything you're involved with. Watch how change will take place. Have a spectacular love day, family. Keeping God first. Speak love, speak life. Speak peace, speak joy. Speak faith and pray. Pray and pray some more. Because the Lord God, he loves our prayers. I thank you, Father God, for this word today. And I lift up the name of Jesus, thanking you for your love for us, that you gave your only son, that we may have eternal life. Father God, we just say we love you today. We love you, Lord God, more than anything. For you are our creator. You knitted each and every one of us in our mother's womb. You know the number of hairs on each of our heads. And you call us friends. You call us sons and daughters. And we can only say today, thank you, Father. We love you. In the holy name of our Savior, your precious, precious Son, a part of you coming to earth through the womb, that you could be like us and take our sins to the cross. All we can say is thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And we love you. In the name of our Savior Jesus, thank you. And we pray this prayer with supplication. Open hearts and minds, spirits. Open to receive more of you on this day of love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone who has a word, now is the time to push that one on your phone or your device, and your line will be open. If not, we pray out. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of the one who loved us best, our Father God, our Savior Jesus Christ. And in the name of the Holy Spirit, who keeps us from falling and abiding in love. Hallelujah. I love you. I thank God for you. And I lift each and every one of you up in love on this day of love. Be blessed and keep God first. And for those of you who are in these cold areas, stay warm, for it is below zero outside. Stay warm, bundle up as you go to church, put on, I call it my Chicago coat. That's that one that's got all the bubbles and everything on the inside that keeps you nice and toasty. Put on your toasty coat, get on your boots and your long johns, as we used to call them. I just called them when I was growing up. Get on your snuggies, get on your long johns, get on your boots, and put on your big coat. Put on your Chicago coat and go to the house of God, where you will always find love, peace, and joy. At least at my church you will. I thank you, and I praise God for you, and I lift you up. Happy Love Day, family. It is, as we say, a wrap. Thank you. I love y'all.